Well, good morning, TNC family, on this second Sunday in November, where today, here, we're in the middle of a three-part series called Up that is leading us right up to Thanksgiving week. And I want to share with you today from the scriptures and science about waking up. But I'll have to explain because there are two kinds. There's the most often thought about kind, waking up after a night of N1, N2, N3, and REM sleep. Your head's been on a pillow, body under the covers, eyes closed, muscles relaxed, the activity of your brain altered, the normal consciousness of your surroundings suspended. There's waking up from that, usually with some form of noise from an alarm. But then there's another kind of waking up, which is what I want to talk with you about today. And here's the thing, it's just as real and it's just as important as the first kind. It's a kind of spiritual waking up, a waking up to the presence, personality, and purpose of God in each moment of your life. Now, the ancient psalmist in chapter 57 actually talks about both kinds of waking up in one short paragraph. He writes, "I will exalt you, O God, above the heavens. I'll declare your glory in all the earth. I will sing your praises and awaken to the dawn." That's the first kind of waking up. But then he goes on, "So wake up my soul." Wake up my soul. The Hebrew word there is kabodi. It has this sense of waking up to your spiritual self. It's about once you are awake to the day, becoming awake to the moment. Eckhart Tolle, the 75-year-old German-born world-renowned philosopher, best known for his books, The Power of Now and A New Earth, Awakening to Your Life's Purpose. He talks about this from years of experience and study. He's taught all over the world to all kinds of cultures about this. And famously and wisely, he has written about it this way, quote, "Nothing ever happened in the past. When it happened, it was in the now. And nothing will ever happen in the future. It will happen in the now. And so we must learn to wake up to the now." Reminds me a lot of what Trevor Moad says a lot. Moad is the high-performance coach. Sports Illustrated has called him the world's best brain trainer. He works with all kinds of star athletes. He's worked with the University of Alabama, University of Georgia, dozens of professional singers and athletes. And he says this, he says, "The greatest athletes always learn how to stay in the moment, giving each moment its own history." Maya Angelou, of course, famously talks about this idea, the second kind of waking up. She said, This is a wonderful day. I've never seen this one before." And even Ferris Bueller told all of us,
"I said it before and I'll say it again. Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it."
That is a timeless movie. But all of these folks are really simply affirming what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, chapter 5 and verse 4. "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, for the light of Christ shines on you. Wake up, O sleeper, wake up, and enter into a kind of aliveness and awareness of the spiritual dimensions that are all around us, infusing our world in each moment. Wake up, for the light of Christ shines on you." And I know this can sound a little esoteric and fuzzy, but basically what it means is that we must become people who can't look at a moment without seeing divine light all over it. Kind of like how it was said of Napoleon, that he could not look at a landscape without seeing a battlefield. Or maybe if you're a dentist, you can't look at a smile without seeing teeth. Or if you're a columnist for the New York Times, you can't look at the world without seeing column topics. Or if you're a politician, you can't look at a person without seeing a vote. or if you're a Swiftie, you can't hear a love story without hearing Romeo, take me somewhere we can be alone. You'll be the prince and I'll be the princess. In a similar way, TNC, we must long to become people who cannot look at a moment without seeing the divine light streaming into the room, into the conversation, into the moment. Wake up, O sleeper, wake up, the apostle says, for the light of Christ is shining into this moment. Wake up. Which is way easier said than done. And so I want to suggest to you now two prayers that I believe can help us wake up to the light of Christ that shines in every moment. Two prayers, and they both start with, God, help me. Inspired by Anne Lamott's wisdom in her book, Traveling Mercies, Some Thoughts on Faith, where she says, quote, here are the two best prayers I know. Help me, help me, help me. And thank you, thank you, thank you. And today we're going to think about the first of those two prayers. Help me, help me, help me. And two help me prayers for waking up to the divine light. Here's number one. God, help me get over myself. God, help me see that I'm not the star that 8 billion people and 8 planets are orbiting around. God, help me see that everyone else around me are not props, extras, stagehands, roadies, security, and support for a story that I'm the star of. Rather, I'm a part of the whole. Or as John Donne famously put it, no man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. Now, I do understand, and psychologists will tell us, that it's easy to filter everything through the lens of my ego, as if it's all happening to me and about me. I'm the one, after all, who earned the money and paid for the bag of coffee. I'm the one who woke up early, measured the coffee grinds, put in the fresh water, added cream and sugar, and stirred, and I am the one drinking it. Which happens to be the exact opposite of the wisdom and perspective of A.J. Jacobs, the writer who wrote that little best-selling book called Thanks a Thousand, about the day he said while sitting around the table with his family before eating, and thank you to the farmer who grew these carrots, and to the truck driver who hauled them, and to the cashier at the grocery store who rang me up, at which point he writes, my 10-year-old son interrupted me, Dad, they can't hear you. And so, Jacobs writes, I thought I should go on a quest to thank people in person. And to make it simple, I decided to pick just one item, an item I can't go without, my morning coffee, at a coffee shop called Joe's Coffee Company. And then his whole book is just a book about his journey to thank every single person in person who had a role in making his morning coffee possible. A quest that took him months and took him around the world. Barista, manager, coffee buyer, founder, initial investors, the coffee grinders, the company who makes the strainer, the digital scale for the coffee, the kitchen tools, the developer of the coffee flavor chart, and the manufacturers of the tasting spoon. He thanked the trucker who drove the coffee beans, then the people who paved the road, and then he thanked the people who made the asphalt for the pavement. And he thanks architects, biologists, designers, miners, goat herds, farmers, water purification plant personnel, the pest control company that services the warehouse where the coffee beans are stored. And he came to realize that his coffee requires the combined work of a shocking number of people, over 1,000, and thus the book of his title, Thanks a Thousand. But here's my point. Too often, we don't see this light. We just see me and my coffee spotlight on me, which again is easy to do because I'm the one it's about. I'm the one who got sick, not you. It's my job that's bad, not yours. And that romantic opportunity ended in rejection for me, not you. Or the opposite, I received an unexpected honor. You didn't. A friend made me an offer I never expected, not you. I got the invitation to the party, not you. So, David, you can say it's us that we're living this shared story, but really, come on, it's more individual than that, which psychologists tell us, by the way, is our default mode to think of yourself as the main character of the drama. That is your life, and everyone else around you is the supporting cast. That's default mode. But the call of the scriptures is not to live by default. It's to live by design. And the created design, going all the way back to Genesis, is for us to see ourselves as connected and belonging to the whole of creation, as something bigger and larger and more holy. The well-respected, well-known author, leader, and Jewish rabbi, Jonathan Sacks, he sometimes frames this as a difference between a contract and a covenant. In a contractual relationship, he says, of course I need you, but only as a way to serve me. We made a deal, and I want to make sure I get my end of the contract. But in a covenant-based relationship, he says, we are together, and it's not a zero-sum game. If I get mine, but you don't get yours, then we both lose. Because your win is my win, and your loss is my loss. Your joy is my joy, your pain is my pain, as the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Rome, chapter 12, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. In the choir of life, revel in the harmony. On the dance floor of life, let your partner shine. On the basketball court of life, invest as much in the assist and the screen as in the shot and the score. And in my experience, TNC, this is a very non-trivial truth of the well-lived life, which is there is great danger that comes with focusing too narrowly on your personal story and individual satisfaction. I think this is why Jesus prayed to God, his Father, in John 17, help them be one, even as we are one. Or a couple Saturday nights ago, I was sitting around the restaurant table with our TNC restaurant trivia team after a Harry Potter question that James quickly answered correctly. And later I remembered that dialogue in the final Harry Potter book, and I looked it up, the moment when Harry is encouraged to go away, to hide in Australia, never to be found, to think of himself. There's a guy named Aberforth who says, we need to think of the best way to get you out of here, get you out of Hogsmeade, up into the mountains. And then Harry says, we're not leaving. Aberforth says, don't be stupid, boy. What you've got to do is get as far from here as you can, but you don't understand, said Harry. I've got to. Why got to? Let it go, boy, before you follow Dumbledore to the grave. Save yourself. I can't. I've got a job. Give it to somebody else. I can't. Why didn't Dumbledore tell you to hide? Why didn't he say, take care of yourself? That's how you survive. Because, said Harry, sometimes you've got to think about more than yourself. Sometimes you've got to think about the greater good. And I love that little story because it's a good reminder that sometimes we need to pray, God, help me get over myself. It's not all about me. And TNC, that prayer, said not haphazardly, but in moments of quiet reflection and meditation, can put us in touch with not just ourselves, but with what is larger than ourselves. That prayer invested in regularly can help us experience the transcendent as well as a feeling of belonging to the whole. That prayer said daily and said before moments of engagement can actually lead us to, now listen, talk less and listen more, to give fewer of our answers and to ask more questions. Think about it this way. Imagine you're meeting somebody for lunch in the middle of the workday. Are you imagining it? You're meeting somebody for lunch in the middle of the workday, which means you should be imagining, well, for me, I'm imagining Mexican food. For you, maybe you're thinking Italian, French, American, Indian cuisine, or something else. But just imagine it. Imagine you're sitting there. Okay, are you talking or listening? Are you encouraging or being encouraged? And during the conversation, are you asking good questions? Because when others know, when it's clear to them that you want to hear about them and learn from them, then you'll begin to experience a kind of light, a divine light in that conversation that can bring hope and joy and unity and meaning and purpose and intimacy. When you ask them what they think, what they've learned, how they'd approach something you are facing, and then you just follow the clues along the way. Like, if they talk about the weather, maybe you ask them about nature, what they like to do outside, or a vacation destination that they love. If they talk about social media, it can lead to asking them about their favorite sites and what they're learning. If they talk about loneliness or sports or family, it's all a clue. It's all a clue, and our call is just to wake up to the clues and then follow the next clue and follow the next clue and the next, and you'll end up in places and with people and ideas in that conversation you never could have come to if you came to it with an agenda about your idea and your life. And you know what else? God will speak to you through other people into your situation. In fact, one of the greatest mistakes folks make is they underestimate how God will use the right people to guide them to the right places. So, first prayer for waking up to the divine light is, God, help me get over myself. And number two, here's the second prayer for waking up to the light of God. Number two, God, help me privilege my principles. Let me explain, because this is a phrase not original with me, but of the Stanford University professor and economist Russ Roberts from his most recent book, a book in which he tells the story of Nobel Prize writer William Faulkner, who once described his strategy for how he writes a great story. Here's Faulkner's strategy. Get the character in your mind, and once he is in your mind, and he is right and he is true, then he does all the work himself. All you need to do then is to trot along behind him and put down what he does and what he says. I love that. Faulkner went on to say, he didn't know how his own stories were going to turn out when he started, but he was never worried, because if he knew the character of his characters that he created, then the situations he put them in just took on a life of their own. Now, that's a very, very intriguing and insightful and profound and simplifying idea, because what it means is, if you just imagine you're in a moment, just imagine you're in a moment of decision in which you want to wake up to God's wisdom and light for your situation. Well, in that moment, don't worry about what should I do, what should I not do. Just privilege your principles. And often the decision will come naturally and simply and more easily. Like, in this moment, should I tell the truth or lie? Well, don't worry. Just privilege your principles. In this moment, should I be stingy or generous? Privilege your principles. In this moment, is it better to forgive or hold on to bitterness and nurse it? In this moment, should I be authentic or fake? In this moment, God, if I want to wake up to the divine light of Christ, should I assume the posture of humility and openness and new learning? Or should I double down on arrogance and ego and what I've always thought? God, in this project, should I persevere and remain faithful, or should I bail? Now, by the way, TNC, this can even apply to really simple questions like, should I get enough sleep? Well, privilege your principles. Should I exercise or not? Privilege your principles. Robert says, just keep privileging your principles, and that will drive your destiny. It will drive your story. By the way, the Apostle Paul makes a very, very similar point throughout his New Testament letters, Ephesians 5, 2 Corinthians 4, Romans 13, and on and on. And Jesus also framed it similarly. He said, each moment holds the possibility to build your life on a rock or to build your life on the sand. They're all saying the same thing, which is in every moment of your life, there's this possibility for what is good. Love and joy and hope and kindness and generosity and being connected to something deeper and bigger and longer than just myself and my immediate needs. In every moment, that light, that possibility is really there. But then in every moment, there's the possibility for what is not good. There is a presence of darkness, of selfishness and ego and pride, of confusion and fear and aloneness. And then in every moment, you have these two, the light and the darkness, but they're accompanied by a third element, which is a choice to embrace the light or to embrace the darkness, to privilege your principles, move toward the light, or to privilege your passing fancies and move to the darkness. And this is where that prayer, God, help me privilege my principles, can help you wake up to what God is up to in any given moment. It can give you courage to follow through. Just that moment of pause, that moment of prayer, can be a few seconds that you need to be patient, find perspective, and remember, God, it's your personality and presence and purpose that are set before me right now. So help me choose the light. Wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead, for the light of Christ is shining on you right now in this moment. So God, help me to see the light. God, help me to get over myself. God, help me to privilege my principles. God, help me wake up, not just to the morning dawn after a good night's sleep, but help me to wake up, oh my soul, to every moment from dawn to dusk, for the light of Christ is shining. Let's pray. God, I want to pray now for every person listening, that they would discover a renewed aliveness to the moment, so they wouldn't be worried and stressed about the past, things they can't control, but they would find freedom and forgiveness from that. And they wouldn't be worried about the future that they can't control, but instead they would wake up to this moment and to what you are doing in this moment. I pray they would discover your light, God, and that that would permeate and bless their homes and their places of work, their relationships and responsibilities, and that it would lead to joy and gratitude and to the bearing of much fruit in their lives. God, give us a strength today that can only come from your glorious power that works within us. Now, TNC, I pray that the Lord would bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.